Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Sarah and Carolyn, for that special. I used to play accordion when I was in my elementary days. I was, not good. I had no musical ability at all, so I've always been appreciative that I've been able to be a part of churches that have good music and have good musicians that know something about music, because I knew nothing about music. And so that was a real blessing this morning. Well, I'd like to thank your pastor for giving me the opportunity to be here this morning. It's an honor to be able to come and in his absence this morning, your pastor and his family and my family have been good friends for quite a few years, and I appreciate his faithfulness through the years and the work he's done here at Grace Baptist. It's always a joy to come back here and see our friends at Grace, see some old faces. I don't mean that literally, old faces, but and see some new faces. But to get reacquainted with some people here, it's been over a year since our last time here, I believe, that to visit. So glad to be back. I gave this in Sunday school. I'll give it again, as I told them I was probably going to. Someone made the statement, only in America can you have a day to give thanks, set aside a day to give thanks, and the next day you have a day set aside for greed. Black Friday. It's the way it is. When I was probably just out of college, and my dad said to me, he said, Matt, what do you want for Christmas? I gave the classic response, well, nothing. And he said, well, tell me something you want. I had heard that morning on the news they had a new toy out. Now, I remember I'm like 27, 28 years old, 26 years old. They had a new toy out called a Furby. Some of you remember Furbies. I had heard on the news that morning that the Furbies was the hottest selling item, and it was such a hot item that people literally in the Walmart stores like in Madison were fighting in the aisles over the last Furby on the shelf. So I told my dad, I said, give me a Furby. That'd be fine, a Furby. And wouldn't you know, somehow he acquired a Furby for me. Furby sits at home on my shelf. I took him to school, my class one day, and with the old Furbies, you know, you're supposed to put your eye, they chatter, they talk, and they do other things too, but put your hand over their eyes, and they go to sleep. Well, I tried doing that. I had a Furby, and my students wanted to see it, so I took it and had it in the classroom, and it's time for math class. Well, I don't teach math, so I had to leave to teach another class. I could not get Furby to go to sleep. So I put Furby in my file cabinet. That Furby chattered all the way through math class. It would not go to sleep. So only in America do we have days set aside to give thanks. And the next day is Black Friday, when it's get all the best deals. What can I get for cheap or cheaper? But I want to look at this morning. In Sunday school, we looked at the idea of stewardship. Sacrificial giving is not measured by what we give, but actually is measured by what we have left after we give. Looked at the poor widow in Mark chapter 12 and giving in all she had, all of her living, all 2 cents worth. And Christ said she gave more than everyone else put together, because she gave of all of her living. This morning, this message I've titled called Where Are the Nine? Where Are the Nine? What I'm going to do is I would like to look at 4 passages really quickly to start with, and then we get into our text, which is Luke chapter 17. But before we do that, turn to Romans chapter 1 as a prelude to Luke chapter 17. Romans chapter 1. Before we look into the scriptures, I would like to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to meet together. We thank you for the church and the ministry that you've raised up here. We ask your continued blessing upon it. We ask now for this time together that you quiet our hearts to the many activities of this day, this week, and that we would be able to give our minds over to what you have for us this morning through your word. We pray for those that are listening via live stream, if that is the case, that you would keep distractions away as well and be able to listen to the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 1, we're going to look at two passages here that where the writer specifically says, equates unthankfulness with not being a Christian. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest or shown in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." Here, Paul writes that people were not thankful. People who refused to glorify God as God, worshiped the creation rather than the Creator, a characteristic was unthankfulness. Now, if you would turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Paul is writing to a young Timothy here. He's writing about what's to come. Timothy has assumed the pastor of arguably one of the largest churches in the world, and Paul is trying to give him some counsel on how to run a church and be the elder of the church. He says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous or dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Notice the comparison there that he puts in for the last days. This is a characteristic of the last days. People will become unthankful. It seems like we hear more and more about, and it's been out there for quite a few years, about everyone wants their rights. Give me my rights. Well, what is a right? It's something I deserve. So if God really gave us our rights, what would we get? Eternity apart from him. See, God doesn't give us what we deserve if we place our faith in him. He gives us what we don't deserve. It's mercy. It's grace. He equates that here with what's going to happen in the end time. People will become more and more unthankful. Now turn back to Ephesians. Another of Paul's books, Ephesians. And let's look at the opposite here. The opposite is he equates thankfulness with a person who is a Christian, who does know Jesus Christ. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And here is the will of the Lord. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." As Christians, we should be thankful more than anyone else, because what Christ has done for us. Here he says, giving thanks always for all things. In the midst of all trials, have the attitude of thanksgiving. I don't know that he's telling us to be thankful for everything that happens, because there are circumstances that take place for which we may not be thankful. My wife and I had a busy week this week. Started out by attending a funeral on Monday. We're hoping the individual was a relative, knew the Lord. But what if he didn't? Would we be thankful for that? I don't think he means be thankful for necessarily everything that takes place, but have the attitude of thanksgiving through our trials. It was Matthew Henry who wrote a number of years ago. He was an itinerant preacher at one time, and one time while he was on his journey, he was robbed. Matthew Henry, of course, wrote the famous commentary, Matthew Henry's Commentary. Matthew Henry was robbed. They took everything he had. Matthew Henry would later write, he said, I'm thankful in the midst of being robbed. He says, first of all, although they took all of my earthly goods, they did not take my life. Amen. He says, second, I'm thankful because I was the one who was robbed, not the one doing the robbing. I wonder if we could have that same type of attitude. Turn your last passage before we go to Luke to 1 Thessalonians, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Speaking to what, as we as Christians, should be about. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 says, rejoice evermore, always the attitude of joy, pray without ceasing, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Thursday we have the day set aside to remember what happened in America. Thankful for the pilgrims that came and for those who helped them establish the colonies. Day set aside for us to remember, not to forget, that God raised up this great nation. Thursday, many of us will be celebrating Thanksgiving with family members. It's quite likely that there will be unsaved around our tables. What an opportunity. When I was growing up, my dad would usually ask me to pray Thanksgiving. Matt, would you say prayer? I'd make sure I was able to work the plan of salvation into my prayer, because we always had unsaved people around our table. As Christians, we ought to have the attitude of being thankful for what God has done for us. Not just our nation, but in our lives. He saved us. We should have that attitude of thanksgiving. Turn now in your Bibles to our text, Luke chapter 17. Where are the nine? Where are the nine? Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 11. Came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through, speaking of Jesus, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. He went through Samaria? Well, they were outcasts. But Christ went where the people were. He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. It's interesting God would put that in there. He was a Samaritan. The Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along. And Jesus answering said, were there not ten cleansed? But where are the nine? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. He said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. I want to set the background here. First of all, why were these lepers together? I don't know. It was very unusual to have 10 of them in the same city. These were not large cities that they're talking about. But yet these 10 men, maybe one heard about someone had leprosy, and so they all got together. And there's 10 of them that are together. I'd like us to notice, first of all, their need. Their need. These men were desperate. They were lepers. Lepers. They were the lowest, the most outcast of society. It was the Old Testament law that they must stay at least 6 feet away from other people. Sound familiar? That was the Old Testament law. And we were told here in verse 12 that these lepers stood afar off. They were abiding by the Old Testament law. They were staying their distance. Now imagine Jesus, wherever he went, he gathered a crowd. There were people all around him all the time. And the people are here, and as Jesus is teaching them, as he went into this village, these lepers approached him. But they couldn't get close because others were around. And you're not supposed to be more than 6 feet. You had to be at least 6 feet away from them. They were desperate. Their need was desperate. They were in desperation. So they're standing afar off watching and listening. And then one of them or two of them or all 10 of them get the idea. The only way we can see Jesus is if we yell out. Now, when a person had leprosy, lepers, it affected their skin. It affected the eyes. It affected the nervous system. These men were desperate. They were going to live a near full life with this horrible disease continuing to get worse and worse. They were desperate. They get this idea, the only way we can get to Jesus, we've heard about him, he can heal us. The only way we can get to him is to call out to him. So they raise their voices, they yell, Master, have mercy on us. I mean, now lepers were used to yelling things out because it was said that when they walked through a village, they had to call out, unclean, unclean, so everyone else would know that they had leprosy. So they were used to this. They weren't shy. They said, Master, have mercy on us. Notice they didn't tell Jesus what their need was. He knew. He knew their need. Before we go on, Jesus knows our needs. Jesus knows our need of him as Savior. Notice, Jesus did not approach the lepers and say, hey, you guys be healed. No, they approached him. When they were ready to come to him, he was ready to heal them. And you know, it's the same with each of us. When we're ready to come to Jesus, he's there. Amen. Ready to heal us of our sin condition. They had a great need. They were in desperation. They yell out to him, Master, have mercy on us. Verse 14. Maybe Jesus, as he looked at them, maybe he could see them. He saw their need. And he said, go, show thyself unto the priest. This was also required by the Old Testament law. Why were they going to go to the priest? I'd like to know a second their faith. So first of all, they're in need. They're in desperation here. Things are desperate. I mean, literally, this disease, things like different parts of the body would collapse, like the nose would collapse as the disease progressed. They no longer worked in their normal jobs. They were outcast. Their families had outcast them. The society had outcast them. They were desperate to be healed, and Christ says, go, show yourselves unto the priests. Wait a minute. Why go show ourselves to the priest? Nothing has happened yet. But notice their faith. Verse 14. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So their faith was, they had to go do what Christ told them to do. Go to the, show yourself to the priest that you're cleansed. They hadn't been cleansed yet. It's going to happen on the way. But their faith was, go to the priest and show yourselves. Ooh, we got a problem here. We're lepers. We're going to the priest. You know, we can't get any closer than 6 feet away from them. Nah, they went. And as they went, the Bible says they were cleansed. Their faith is shown here that I mean, their desperate need was, whatever Christ said, we're going to do it. If Christ said, go dunk in the Jordan River, we're going to do it because we're willing to try anything at this point. And we heard what this man named Jesus can do. All he said was, go, show yourselves to the priests. That's an interesting statement. It was required by the Old Testament law, but the priests were one that were going to try to find reasons to put Christ to death also. I wonder if the lepers talked once among themselves. Well, should we do it? What do you think? To one another. Should we go? I wonder if they just turned and immediately started to go. I wonder if they ran. Or if they walked. My guess is they probably were running. Because they wanted to see if this was going to happen. Go show ourselves to the priests. Now and as they are going, whether walking or running, they notice things are happening. They're healed. Their need was great. They were desperate. They were desperately ill, and they would have to live in the rest of their lives this way. They were beggars, begging for food because they could not work a job. They were outcasts. People wanted nothing to do with them. But it came to pass as they went to see the priests, they were cleansed. Number three, I want us to look at their thankfulness. Their need was great, very great. They were desperate to be healed. Their faith. Christ said, go, and they did. And they were healed. If those lepers had not gone, they would not have been healed. I don't believe that. They would have been healed because they didn't do what God told them to do or Christ told them to do. They obeyed. They had faith that this one named Jesus could heal them, and he did. And third, the thankfulness. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Now, this is interesting here. Where were they supposed to go? To the priest. The Old Testament law required it. He didn't go to the priest. He broke the Old Testament law? Yeah. Because he felt there was something more important here. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, and I can imagine these lepers, they're going to the priest and they're looking over, looking at one another and looking at themselves, and they're healed. Nine of them continued on going, or we don't know if they ended up getting to the priest or if they went their way, if they went home. But we know that one, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. There wasn't a doubt what had happened to him. He knew it. Everyone in the city knew it, because he glorified God. He was healed. God, Christ, healed me. Praise be to God. Verse 16 says, he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. You know, there's times in Scripture that Christ specifically points out the fact that they were Samaritans to show his love for all. This one turned and gave thanks. Worshipped Christ, gave him thanks. Where'd the other nine go? Where are the nine? Where'd they go? They get to the priests? Did they go home? Did they go back to their families and then go back to their jobs? They obviously went back to their lifestyles, I would guess, back to their former jobs. Imagine the employer, when these lepers walks in. The employer says, hey, you're not supposed to be here. I've been healed. Really? What happened? Look at the opportunity these lepers had to give testimony about what God, what Christ had done for them. But only one returned to give Christ thanks. As this man is kneeling before him, Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Christ said, there were 10. Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. We don't know anything about the other 9. We don't know where they ended up going. We don't even know if they were saved or not. But we do know verse 19, Jesus said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole, hath made you complete. We know one, believe Christ for salvation, this 10th leper. Where are the 9? Did they think they had to get to the priests? Because that's what Christ had said. Did they just go their way? Forget the priests? Just go their way? We don't know anything about them, but the 10th one, Christ says, came back. He said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He had just met, Jesus had just met, probably his second greatest need for healing. He had met his greatest need for spiritual healing. Where are the 9? How is our attitude of thanksgiving? Are we thankful? Are we a thankful people? We saw in the passages at the beginning that Paul, as he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, equated being unthankful with a person who does not know Jesus. In other verses, Ephesians and 1 Thessalonians, he equated thankfulness with a person who didn't know Christ as Savior. How thankful are we? Thankfulness should be part of our lives. When I was growing up, no matter what it was, if someone ever gave my brother or myself a gift, my mom said, Matthew, Peter, sit down. Write a thank you card. Send him a thank you card. They did something nice for you. They didn't have to do that. She taught us to be thankful for what others have done for us. As Christians, we ought to be thankful for what Christ has done in our lives. And oftentimes, I know we get busy in our daily lives. I get busy. I'm very busy there at Utica. And oftentimes, we get busy in our lives, and we don't have time to stop and reflect upon what Christ did for us. That's why testimony time is a good time. Be thankful for what Christ has done for us. How has Christ blessed us? God gave his Son, Jesus, on the cross. Ought we not to be thankful for that? Thursday, we have a wonderful time of Thanksgiving. It's more than just food and football. It's time to just remember what God has done, how he's blessed America in such great ways. Man, has he blessed America. I mean, what other country in the world has the freedoms we have here? It is just, it's amazing. I fear that we're losing some of those blessings to see the way our nation has been going and the things that we have allowed to come into our culture. How long will we have the blessings and enjoy the blessings that we now enjoy? Freedom to meet freely, worship God in our churches. We have been given so much. You know, we don't understand necessarily. Maybe we do. I dare say we don't understand. Maybe we do. There was a story a few years ago. It was in the news about a teenage girl who ended up, she received Jesus as her Savior, and she ended up having to leave home. Teenage girl. She had to run away. She had to. She ended up in a southern state where a pastor and his wife took her in and went into the court system because her dad was filing suit to get her back. And in one of the testimonies to one of the media organizations, she made the statement, "You don't understand. If I go back, my dad will kill me. He has to. It's his religion." I thought, wow. Teenagers have enough pressure upon them and then have to go through something like that. Are we thankful for what God has done in our lives? I hope so. It's not easy at times to be thankful. Trials come. Middle of circumstances. Circumstances, it's easy to get down. But Paul wrote, in everything, in the midst of everything, have the attitude of thanksgiving. Be thankful. Have that attitude. We have a day set aside on Thursday to do that. And it's not just thankfulness for America, but we as Christians can be thankful as well. It's part of the Christian life to have that attitude. Be thankful for what Christ has done. Christ here said, "Where are the nine? 10 were healed. Where are the nine? Where are the other nine? Only one returned to give thanks to God." And Christ's response was, "Go your way. Your faith." Notice he didn't say your healing. He didn't say you kneeling before me. He says your faith. Your faith in me has made you whole. Christ met his physical need. He met his spiritual need. Has Christ met your spiritual need? Have you allowed him to meet your spiritual need? Do you know him as your Savior? If not, today would be a great day to come to know him as your Savior. Ask him to come into your life and change you to be what he wants you to be. What a great day that would be. The Gospel of Luke says the angels rejoice when someone gets saved, when sinner repents. The angels in heaven rejoice. That's exciting. day I got saved, I had angels rejoicing. I had angels jumping up and down. I don't know if they were clapping their wings or what, but they were excited the day I got saved. They were when you got saved too. Heaven rejoices when one person comes to know Him. I hope that's your testimony. But if not, today could be the day that you find Him as your Savior. But just ask Him to come into your life, forgive you of your sin, and He said He'll do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the few minutes we've had together this morning. Thank You for the freedom we have to open Your Word in a free land. Thank You for Thursday's Thanksgiving, to remember what You've done, how You've blessed America. We know that could all change in a moment. We saw that a number of years ago, how fast things can change. I pray that we'd be careful to give thanks in everything, in the midst of everything, to have the attitude of thanksgiving. If there's even one here that does not know You as Savior, Lord, may today be the day they find You. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask her. Right. Do you want to? Are we having a song, or am I done? Or offering now? Okay. It's up to you guys. Let's all stand. You're a little confusing there, but we got things figured out. I'm going to ask a piano player, Carolyn, to play through a verse of a song. The song is an invitation. If you don't know Jesus Christ, I invite you to come to Him. Today is a great day. Maybe the Lord's spoken to you about something else. Deal with that in your heart. Maybe it's the attitude of thanksgiving, being thankful. We have some visitors here. If you don't know Jesus, talk to one of us after the service. We'll be happy to point you to Christ. Okay, we can be seated, and I'll invite the gentleman to come. Daryl's coming out.
Okay, the men are coming forward. If you have if you feel a lot of the Lord to give to Brother Gamer, we know they're struggling. I know he was a pastor for a long time, and they have some needs now with his medical condition, and just continue to pray for him also that the Lord will strengthen him, if the Lord sees to extend his life, and so pray for him and his wife Sharon, and let's pray for the offering now. Lord Jesus, thank You for Your grace and goodness and Your provisions to us, Lord, and help just bless this offering that it be used for Your honor and glory. Just bless Brother Doug and Sharon, Lord, especially Brother Doug, that You'd strengthen him up, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Amen. All right. Well, what a blessing to have two baptisms this morning. There are two people from downstairs from the Spanish-speaking ministry. So it's a blessing for me to be part of them, their baptism. So I just want to introduce one of them first. So Roxana, give me here. So she is Roxana Villanueva. She gave her testimony with the deacons this morning, and she got saved a few years ago, like 3 years ago, downstairs. So it's a blessing that now we see her, you know, obeying the Lord in the step of baptism. So Roxana, si quieres poner como te expliqué. Okay, Roxana, according to the authority that the church has given to me, I baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried according to his death and resurrected from your life.
Amen.
All right. Okay, now we have Raul Mesa, right?
Massa.
Raul Massa. Si quieres venir. It's a little bit taller than me. I don't know how I'm gonna do this. Right, there we go. Okay. So this is Raul Massa. He just came like a month ago, and then he heard the gospel. So Brother Pastor Mario Merino was able to guide him to the Lord. And so he wanna do better in his life for his family. So it was a blessing to hear his testimony also this morning with the deacons. And now he's willing to obey the Lord in the baptism. Okay, Raul? Okay, now Raul, with the authority that the church has given to me, I baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried according to his death and resurrected for a new life. Amen. Listo. Gracias, señor. All right, thank you. So, Brother Darrell, you want to? Okay, I can do it here. You want to? All right. All right, let's stand up and have a prayer to dismiss. So, we hope you're coming back tonight for their service. And thank you, Brother Matt Reed, for your preaching. It was a blessing. So let's have our prayer and then we'll dismiss. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we are before you to ask your blessings in today where we're going out to our houses. So bring those back for tonight for the other service. And thank you for Brother Matt Reed, who was able to come and preach for us. So bless him. And bless every one of us. Bless these two new members, new members of our church now that they just got baptized, for Roxana and Raul. So bless their lives, the new walk with you, Lord, and be with them. And we pray now to dismiss from here, but stay with us until we before you, Lord. And we pray now this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.